they continue now with this beneficial retreat with Father Gates for all families to hear.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. And the compassion of the women, as they approach our blessed Savior with touch, that he does say to them, weep not for me, but for thy children. And we live in an age where many parents weep for their children and weep with good reason, alas. And this afternoon I would like to speak to you about the conditions of our life, which is to say the conditions in the church, the conditions therefore in our home, the conditions therefore in the society that we call the world about us. It is necessary to remember that our blessed Savior did say, for the world, I do not die. The spirit of the world is from hell. The way of the world is from hell and to hell. The values of the world are hellish. And therefore, to judge the temple of the time, one simply asks the question, how badly off are we? And if the answer be that the young of the world know the ways of the world, know the values of the world, and have the spirit of the world, then we know indeed that the age is demonic. Because the little ones of this age are the parents of tomorrow, but no one gives what they do not have. And they will not give Christ to their children, for they will not have faith. And so, many a parent weep. Weep not for me, but for your children. But it is necessary to have a correct perspective on this age. And it is necessary to understand that while the horrors of this age are enough to frighten a hardened soldier who has been blooded in many a battle, nevertheless, it is necessary to not be pessimistic. This is to say, it is necessary for our soul salvation that our days be characterized by supernatural hope, lest we leave this world in the mortal sin of despair. It is the devil who is torturing us, not Jesus Christ, when we weep for our children. It is the devil who has done them harm, but it is the devil who has reminded me over and over and over again, you haven't got a chance. The teachers in the school against you. The religious and the priests of the world will cause a danger to you. The good parents are mocked. The good priests are condemned, the good sisters are silent and retired. The villains of the world are honored, the profligates of the world are sent among the children. How can children survive horror as our parent? May I bring my children to salvation? I may not. It will take a miracle. And that is the liar, that is the devil, who is putting those thoughts into my mind. He is reminding me, think of how far the children have descended from the innocence of several years ago. Think of how remorseless the children are in their efforts to resist me. Think of how brazen they are in their disrespect to me. Think of the dreadful companionship that they have all around. It's a wonder they are as good as they are. And that is the devil reminding me of their blackest side. And it is so easy to look at the blackest side of reality. But reality is not a coin that has only one face. No pancake so thin that it does not have another side. And this is what we forget. This is God's world. And every single thing in this world has been prepared by God, save sin. Has been willed by God, save sin. has been known by God as coming into existence on this very day, everything save sin. And if you have a crate of oranges that are sent to you from Florida, and they are going to arrive in your home tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, God knew that before he made the world. Because everything in the world is from God save sin. Many of the crosses are of my own making. Many of the crosses come from the devil. But some of the crosses come from God. And we think of the good old days. We think of 40 years ago and 30 years ago and 20 years ago, and we call them the good old days. But in those good old days, my dear brethren, it was possible to be deceived. To think that mediocrity was sufficient. But you know, and your children know, that mediocrity is never possible, and certainly not today, because in the years to come, and in the days to come, they who leave this world are leaving this world not as frail creatures, they are leaving this world as saints or saintedness. Now that is the new religion that is moving across the face of the earth. Not paganism as paganism, but Satanism outright. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that the pagan religions of the world, one and all, Egypt, Greece, Persia, China, whatever the civilization, the Sumerian, the Hittite, the Babylonian, whatever the civilization, however low, however high, however ancient, a pagan civilization is always directly or indirectly a civilization that worships Satan. My dear brethren, we living in this nation know all about Satanism, don't we? Think of the horror of that thought. To give to the devil worship, to give prayer of perversity, to give sacrifice of horrendous heinousness to a creature burning in hell called the adversary of three divine persons. To give all of his own to God to it, that damned being. Think of the perversity. And yet this is the new religion. There are people that are distressed about the new humanism. There are people who tell us about the triumph of the revival of paganism. It's all true. But these are just the intermediate steps before direct and open, brazen, lightning Satanism. But many of the young people are short-circuiting the long journey. For them there's no humanism, for them there's no paganism, it's just a direct thrust. One leap into paganism. It's all true. But you must keep a perspective. If you live in this age of power, and you do not succumb, then you will be a saint. And if you live in his age of power, you must understand that he is not the king of the universe, he is a plunderer. He's only a preacher. He bothers God as much as a puff of smoke is able to knock me on my back. He's only a preacher. He is an adversary only by the pernicious will of God. It is not because of his power that he resists God. It is not because of his intelligence that he resists God. He is a thing. He's a creature. He was made. And every little boy and girl that dips their hand in water into the holy water fountain and makes the sign of the cross is practicing an exorcism that keeps the devil's powering and changing far away from the child. That's the power of the devil. He has no power until voluntarily we place ourselves within the perimeter of his exercise of power. Now we are living in an age where there is talk of ecumenism. It's a big word and it doesn't mean anything. And I am about to read to you from a very old book about exorcism. Every priest in the world that is properly ordained has the power to perform exorcism. And he may privately and simply perform the exorcism in the confessional for a bad penitent, in a hospital room, Wherever he meets, he exercises direct and unmitigated of the devil. Simply and privately, any priest may do so. But solemnly and publicly, only one priest of the diocese is commissioned by the bishop of the diocese to be the official exorcist of the diocese. And that means that when he performs the exercise of his power, there has been an official judgment, not the judgment of a priest. This is the official judgment now of the church. Here is a true case of possession. Therefore, there will be two witnesses, and everything will be written down. Here is an account. I have related how Almighty God permitted evil spirits to possess a certain person called Nicolas Aubery of the town of Vevey in France. The possession took place in the year 1565. This is what was written down as the devil spoke. When the strange circumstances of Nicolas' possession became known everywhere, several Calvinist preachers came with their followers to expose this focus. What? As they said. Now on their way, the devil saluted them mockingly and called them each by name and told them, "You have come in obedience to me." One of the priests took his Protestant prayer book and began to read it. The devil laughed at him and put it on his comical face, said, "Oh, my good friend, you intend to expel me with your prayers? Do you think they will cause me any pain? Don't you know they're mine? I come to compose them. I expel thee in the name of God," said the preacher. "You?" The devil said mockingly. "You? You will not expel me either in the name of God or in the name of the devil. Did you ever hear then of one devil driving out another?" "I am not a devil," said the preacher. "I am a servant of Christ. A servant of Christ indeed." "What? I tell you, you are worse than I am. I believe, and you do not want to believe. Do you suppose you can expel me from the body of this miserable wretch? Go first and expel all the devils that are in your own heart." The preacher took his leave, and in going away, he turned up his eyes and cried, "Oh Lord, I pray thee, assist this poor creature. And I pray, Lucifer," cried the spirit, "that he may never leave you, but may always keep you firmly in his power as he does now. Go about your business now. You're all mine. I am your master." That, my dear brethren, is quite new to consider. That means the religion to the world has been composed by a preacher, and the preacher is called the devil. And he has inspired human beings as to what they should write and what they should teach and what they should preach and how they should separate themselves from Rome, separate themselves from Christ, separate themselves from the Blessed Mother. And he's given them the ideas that they have used in their arguments as they charge the church with infamy. It has ever been thus, and it is so today. Therefore, as I told the children yesterday, be he in a Roman collar, be he famous, be he learned, be he rich, be he powerful, be he a person of reputation, whoever he be, whoever she be, if he or she contradicts your mother and father and tells you nonsense, you are listening to a human being who is mouthing the words of Satan. When your parents err, and they seldom do, as I told the children yesterday, they err because of love. Every time you resist them, you sin, because you err not from love, but that you err by violating the fourth commandment, which I insist does not say obey your parents, which is honor thy father and mother. You give them obedience and you give them respect and you even give them reverence. And those men or women in print, on television, in classrooms, speaking to you, whoever they be, even if they be priests or bishops, if they contradict your parents and tell you, don't obey them, don't listen to them, don't trust them, don't let them know anything, whatever they say, you are listening to the devil who is speaking through the lips of a bad intention, bad-minded human being, who's just a preacher, acting in defiance of the known will of God. And what is the known will of God? The children are to be brought up in the love and fear of God. My dear brethren, this perspective that I'm suggesting that you should have is, it's God's will, just because there's sound and fury all about us, just because there's demolition and destruction, just because so many people are profoundly depressed, and there's good reason why, that doesn't mean that we have it all in our little minds and that our judgment is correct and there is no hope and it is all over and we are abandoned and the worst can be expected for our children. We're forgetting all about divine providence, not a sparrow falls, remember? The very hairs of thy head are numbered, remember? Come to me, all you who labor with a heavenly burden, and I will refresh you. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor might nor depth nor height, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That's the great deception of this age. Multitudes of Roman Catholics believe that one and all we are being separated from the love of God, as though creatures could do it. I'm the only creature that can do it. And if your children go astray or have gone astray, or you fear that they go astray, they are still only yours on loan. And God is more concerned than you are, and God has power, and God has wisdom, and God has mercy. And God wants those children home. And when you have done all that you can do, confess that we are weak and miserable and wretched servants, and leave the rest to God and pray for the children's conversion. And leave things to God. Do all within your power, and you can do no more. Leave things to God. You see, we live in an age of so much paganism that we are being affected by it. We are beginning to lose the clarity of vision that was once ours. Given to us in the sacrament of baptism, given to us each time that we receive the sacrament of penance and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, each time we have the privilege to receive an eighth sacrament, be it extremunction or the sacrament of marriage or the sacrament of confirmation, there was a time when we were clear. But now the dust is in our eyes, the dust of new hollows, the dust of new proclamations, the dust of activity. All day long and every day, there is more and more to discomfort us and discomfort us. And a good reason are we heavy-hearted, but that's the human side. What about the supernatural side? The people of other ages, yeah. Perhaps so terribly tormented, not really so terribly tormented. They had a vision of what the world was about because they knew their catechism. They could not read and they could not write. They were what we call the primitives. They were the first civilization of barbarians that had been converted. So they had a view that we once had, that few of us still have. Here's a prayer. To wash away from your mind so much of that which is true in itself, but it's only true insofar as it is a human judgment. Take a look upon that cross. See that man in the middle and the two men around him? He says that he is the Son of God. See the spit. See the mask of blood and dust. see the writhing in agony, see the helplessness. You call that the Son of God, him, it? In the eyes of faith, we know that that is the triumphant Jesus Christ, King and Victor. But in the eyes of faith, he must have the supernatural to see Christ in his victory. And over there on the wall is a small closet, and in there you go, and you have a mortal sin, and a mortal sin, and a mortal sin. One more terrible than the other, and when you come out, you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Who believes that nonsense, except the soul that has supernatural light, called supernatural faith? It's not possible to believe. You have heard this prayer before. It is ancient. It is 1,500 years old, and the world was nearly all pagan and barbarian. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Most Blessed Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession in the oneness of the Creator of creations. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth and his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion and burial, through the strength of his resurrection and ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom, I arise today, through the strength of the love of cherubim, through the obedience of angels, and the service of archangels, in the hope of the resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of virgins, in the deeds of righteous men, I arise today. Through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, radiance of the moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock, nothing has changed. The world has ever been up. Sunrise, sunset, rain, season, and always and ever, the freeness and oneness of the Creator. Overseeing all, guiding all, directing all, supporting all, protecting all, and inspiring the future. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me. That's true. Yesterday, tomorrow, this day. Through God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak to me, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's fear to protect me. From the temptation of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, afar and anear, alone and in the multitude. Did you ever think of that? Your kids haven't been scared. Think of the pornography. Think of the socialism. Think of the drugs. Think of the promiscuity. Think of the bad companions. Think of the bad movies. Think of the television. Think of the men who have aged, as they gave their entire life, 18 hours a day, for the damnation of children, decade by decade. The demons that are all around, think. And it's all correct, according to human judgment, that you have left out your supernatural. I arise today. God's strength to support me. God's might to protect me. God's wisdom to lead me. They've left out God in everything, haven't they? God's hope to save me from the snare of the devil, from temptation, from vice, from everyone who desires me ill, a foul and ear, a loner and a multitude. I summon today all these powers between me and evil. Angels, saints, the Holy Family, Saint Joseph, Our Lady, Jesus Christ, two divine persons, between me and evil. I summon today all these powers between me and evil against every cruel, merciless power that opposes my body and soul. Against incantations of false prophets, against the black laws of pagandom, against the false laws of heretics, against the craft of idolatry, against the spells of witches, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body or soul. Christ, heal me today. Against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that the Lord may come to me in abundance. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on the right. Christ on the left. Christ when I lie down. Christ when I sit down. Christ when I rise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me. Christ in the eyes that see me. Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today. Through our mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the freeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. So there is a battle. So your children are subjected to the power of the darkness. But he is on their side. Who is on your side? Human judgment said the boat was sinking. The men were fishermen. They were professional. They knew the boat was shipping water and they could not survive. And in the tumult, with a sense of wave and wind, they cried, Lord, save us, we perish. The miracle instantly ceased to swell. And then the review. No tender words of compassion. Oh, you poor fellows, you need not have worried. Oh, I know why you're upset. After all, everything indicated you were thinking, but oh, you should have known better. No, no. The rebuke. Why are you fearful? Oh, you are the little son. And mothers and fathers, that's still being addressed to you. Pray for your children, suffer for your children, rebuke your children, punish your children, correct your children, advise your children, warn your children, love your children, talk to your children, understand your children, be good to your children, not. They are yours, except alone to God. You think he wants the fiend from hell to devour them eternally? Why are you fearful, oh, you of little faith? This is the present tribulation of the cross, the darkness of the earth and heaven, as Jesus Christ is crucified again. And multitudes scream down, no longer blaspheming, coming down in silence. What did he say? He felt he cannot save, all the fear no more, the terrified. The world is dark, the earth is creeping. And there are times to cause the Roman centurion to say, clearly this was the Son of God. This is coming. And our blessed Savior, the night before in the garden, remember the oppression as he did sweat blood, as he was filled with fear. God must come to death. It is to come to us. Because the mystical body of Jesus Christ is not only going to suffer bloody persecution, but we will endure everything that Christ would endure. The day is yet to come when we will cry, but we will. The very words of Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But before that comes, we will have the heaviness and the despondency and the depression and the sadness and the anger. My soul is sorrowful unto death. Jesus Christ is ready to die. And the fear and the sadness and the heaviness and the dimness of soul that came to him. And so it comes to us. But remember, that was the devil's hour. He wished to see Christ brought to death. And Christ permitted him to have his way insofar as this creature was already, without knowing it, effecting the circumstances that would bring to pass the surrender of Jesus Christ to death. And Christ would cry out, is consummate in bowing his head to God and gives himself up in that last will act to the total will of his heavenly Father. My need is to do the will of him who sent me. We are encountering those conditions today. The devil alone is the face of the earth, speaking damnation of souls. That's in the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, which used to be said at the end of all masses, the world over the hill, no masses. There's about the world like a ravening lion, seeking whom he may devour. He knows he must do it with a frenzy of activity because his time is up. Very soon enough, and now shall lie in wait for the heel of the river, and she shall trust thy heart, that he is coming, the triumph of Jesus Christ the King, this time for his most blessed mother. The creature of humility, the creature of purity, to come in the age of lust, to come in the age of pride, to destroy forever the creature who has attempted to put hell in the heart of everybody so that one day he might have everyone in hell. And the hell that he tries to put in good women and good men is the mortal sin of the soul. You think you are suffering? You do not know what suffering is until you have despair. Please God, never another human being on the face of the earth will despair, but there is suffering when you need it. No cancer of the brain ever tested like despair. That is the remorseless cruelty of the fiend from hell. He cannot wait to have us in hell to torture us. He begins the torture even here on earth, a mortal sin of despair. It is so easy to despair. Look at the circumstances of your time. Look what's coming. Have you already forgotten? This is God's will. He has arranged everything in my life except sin, mine, and the sins of others. There is a purpose in my having been born in this century and living to this decade, because by the mysterious design of divine providence, poor pathetic me, I have been asked to be one of the last defenders in the very thin line of soldiers to fight for Jesus Christ, the last thin line. Not St. John Chrysostom, not St. Augustine, not St. Teresa, not St. Catherine. Ah. Why? Perhaps because they're so pathetic. That's why Christ wants us as soldiers, because we are so feeble that we must, in humility, get down on our knees and tell God, it is too much. I can do no more. Because Christ's greatest warriors are the weak and humble of heart. Learn of me, or I would love to be like Christ, or I wish that I could be a saint. To be like Christ, what does Christ say? Learn. Learn what? Meekness and humility. The power of the devil, where is the devil? He's in your house. He's in the kitchen, he's in the bedroom, he's in the attic, he's in the cellar. Who said so? Here is the ritual blessing for holy water. God's creature says, I cast out the demon from you by the living God. Are you surprised? Before the priest is able to bless holy water, he must exercise the salt and then bless the salt. Then he exercises the water and blesses the water. Then he mixes the salt in the form of the cross three times and mixes salt into water. And then you have holy water. Holy water is an exorcism. A child's sprinkling, it drives the demons away. It is a sacramental. It is a means of sanctification. You all have much holy water in your home, don't you? As an exorcism and as a blessing. You sprinkle it in times of storm. You dip your thumb and anoint the forehead of the sick child in the form of the cross, giving a mother or a father's blessing as a sacramental. You use it every day, don't you? Now here is the surprise. Where is the devil? God's fruit of salt. I cast out the demon from you by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God who ordered you to be thrown into the water spring by Elizabeth to heal it of its barrenness. May you be an exercise salt, a means of health for those who believe, a medicine for body and soul for all who make use of thee. May all evil fancies of the foul fiend, his malice and cunning, be driven apart from the place where you are sprinkled. And let every unclean spirit be repulsed by him who has come to judge both the living and the dead and the world by fire. Amen. And then a blessing. Almighty and everlasting God, we humbly appeal to thy mercy and goodness to graciously bless this priest of salt, which thou hast given to mankind's use. May all who use it find in it a remedy for body and soul, and may everything it touches or sprinkles be freed from uncleanness and any influence of evil spirit. Then the exorcism for the water. God speaks the water. I cast out the demon from you. In the name of God, the Father Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord, and the power of the Holy Ghost, may you be a purified water, and power to drive the foul out of the power of the devil. In fact, to root out and banish the enemy himself, along with all fallen angels, we ask his power. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to judge both the living and the dead in the world by fire. And then the blessing is given to the water. O God, who for man's welfare established this most wonderful mystery, and the substance of water, hearken to our prayer, and pour forth thy blessing on this element, now being prepared with varying purifying life. May this creature of thine water be used in thy mysteries and be endowed with grace to serve to cast out demons, banish disease. May everything that this water sprinkles in the home and the gatherings of the faithful be delivered from all that is unclean and hurtful. Let no breath of contagion hover there, no taint of corruption, let all the wiles of the working enemy come to nothing, etc. and etc. So if you think the devil is everywhere, and the powers against you are demonic, you're right. And you haven't been fair. Because these are fallen angels, these demons. These are creatures of unimaginable power and inconceivable intellect. How can you resist them? Without God. And with God, rising with his child, putting the finger into the holy water font, making the sign of the cross, drives away legions of demons. Legions. Yes, the times are bad, but those who understand mothers, that you are God's instrument in creating life. Don't you understand, Father, you are God's chosen instrument in creating life? Don't you know that these souls are not boys and not girls? The child in the womb is a princess destined to live forever in the court of Christ the King. This is a prince on the day of birth, destined to live in the court of the Empress of Heaven, Queen of Angels and Queen of Saints.
Hello, this is Patrick.
You think that God was a child that he has sent into this world?
Okay, so tomorrow they're going to carry it over together, you mean?
Into the mystical body of Christ, you think that God was a child who is an heir to the
okay.
Kingdom of Heaven? You think that child who is known to the image and likeness of God, you think that child whose ransom was purchased by the master of Jesus Christ and his death, using the God, wrong creatures, foul demons to have their way, and bring this soul to hell, and he do nothing, and leave it only to you. My dear brethren, come to your senses now. Give the devil his due, let him take all the curtain call he wants. Take credit yourself, let credit is due for all the harm you've done in your own family. Take the responsibility. And when everything is said and done, the world and the flesh and the devil, the triple sword that gives us the contingency to try the flesh, try the right, and the sevenfold capital sin that gives us the treasury of all of the knowledge that touches the world, when everything has been said and done, do you think that that's all that the world can do to us? Lord, the guardian angels for the children, how they can ever be thwarted and never do anything for the child's salvation. What about the school to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Christ said to her, dost thou not know my hour has not come? She refused. Now, Blessed Mother Simpson turned away and said to the children, do all things whatsoever the God commanded. And the miracle was performed. What do you think she asked? How about what you find as she asked? And it's already God's child. And it's already a child that he died in agony to save. You think the devil has a play on everything? Do you think the bad women and bad men? Do you think the bad things, bad men? Do you think that the destruction of the church seemingly and the destruction of America factually is the sufficient reason for despair?
Father's sermon will continue on side B of this tape following the music.